Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, hey! Good morning, everybody. The Bankroll Boys. We didn't give ourselves that name. Dan Lifshatz is here. I'm Joe Murray. Tucker Silva. Helping us out today. The phone number 617-779-0985. Any game. College basketball. College football. NFL. You name it. We got it. Right here. The only place in the city that you can talk sports betting, Dan. Now, listen, I'm poking fun, okay? Let me just poke some fun for a little bit.
Feel free.
You know, I've been told that, like, Celtics basketball sometimes is the worst to listen to. I read somewhere that sports gambling is one of the worst things to listen to on the radio. I got to tell you, man, coming in today, woof! Now, Tucker knows that I'm a man that likes to talk about things other than sports, okay?
Which is needed after, you know, the show, because it's like we just do 2 hours of straight, like, spread stats and crap. Like.
Parfaits, you know.
Farpays.
Yep. You know, whatever it is. Food, leftovers, you name it. But Christmas lights today, I mean, I couldn't do it.
Dude.
I turned the channel and I couldn't even do that.
Are you talking about the fellas?
Oh my God. Yeah. No, I don't want to knock another show because
No, it's fine. We can.
I was told that sports betting was the worst to listen to on the radio. And then I actually listened to what was on before us today. And oh my God.
I'm just going to name names right now. I used to, when I worked overnights here, I used to have to listen to Amy Lawrence, and I legitimately thought she was the worst radio person I've ever heard. She's not good. She's not good. And she had a fall of Pharrell. And I love Pharrell. Pharrell was fantastic. So it's like, you know, going from the highest highs to the lowest of lows, right? And then I heard the fellas. And I need to make an apology to Amy Lawrence because, oh, boy.
I think what got me today was the topic.
It's just that the one dude, you know what I'm talking about.
The fella.
Yeah. He's the worst. He's the worst radio guy ever. He's the worst. He makes Amy Lawrence look like Pharrell.
So I'm sorry. I didn't want to start there. I had to.
Just sorry.
We're here. We're live. The only betting show in Boston where you can talk betting.
We need a little fun. Something else to open up the show.
And by the way, good luck to you if you're out there right now.
Ugh.
Dude, it's dark. It's wet. There's puddles. Like, you got to be careful of the old, what do they call that there?
Fishtailing?
Well, fishtailing, yeah. But that happens more in the snow there.
A hydroplane?
Hydroplane.
Yeah, that's,
there you go.
I saw a car flip over doing that on the highway once. It was pretty scary.
Today. I was like, oh.
No, not today.
So I'll give you a little Joey Murray. You can bet on this one. Stay out of the fast lane, the left lane, because a lot of puddles. And sometimes the puddle's like...
it catches
catch
you off
and then
guard,
all of a sudden you're like, oh, no, you freak out. Then you start going into another lane and then whatever. It's dark out there, man. I don't know if I'm ready for this.
Yeah, we got 3 hours of sunlight today, you know, maybe. Actually, no, we're not going to see the sun at all. What are you talking about?
Nope. You got snow and snow, rain, and just a mix of crap.
So there's a good day today. We got some good college basketball games.
We have the best game, one of the best games of the season today. I mean, right. I don't think that's underplaying it at all.
Anybody who listens to this show or this podcast would know that today's a big day in college football. And then the NFL has some very interesting lines this week. I think if you listen to the show weekly, you'll start to see that the primetime favorites just lay off. Besides maybe the Packers last week.
Or just take the other side.
Yeah, that's true.
So sack up and take the other side.
And then just start looking at dogs, man. Like, I like to look at, like, all right, who's favorite? Who can win right away? You got to start identifying underdogs right away because it's just they've been crushing. When you look at it, man, like you got like the Jaguars, dude. I faded them last week because of Mike Glennon. And again, like what are you doing, Joe? And then here we go, the Browns this week. A lot of people like the Browns, and dude, their record. And we said this too, Dan. Throw the trends out the window. But they're one of the worst road teams. And dude, if they don't score over a touchdown, they lose. And they're playing the Titans this week, who's getting hot. They're getting hot right now. So that's an interesting game coming up this week. And I know that the Patriots game is going to be interesting, too, because the line has been moving around on that one. And I know here, locally here, we can't tell what week the Patriots are going to cover or whatnot. It's literally like blackjack. You know, we just don't know. All right, we got to talk about some things that happened last night first. Marquette, Wisconsin. Good game.
The Battle of Milwaukee.
Yep. So Wisconsin's the number four team in the country. They have a good team. They actually play they score a little bit more. They're known as a defensive team. They don't have like superstars or anything like that. They're just a well coached team. So they play Marquette, that's a new program. And we talked about all the guys they lost. They lost their best player, whatever.
Bowser brothers, Marcus Howard, et cetera.
Spread was 4 for Wisconsin, depending on where you got it. And it's tied. They're up 2. Wisconsin's up 2.
Wisconsin's up 1.
1, sorry. The kid hits the free throw, misses the next one.
There's a foul with 0.9 seconds left. Yeah. Hits the first 3.
Which, by the way, that's a gutsy call.
It was a terrible call.
Yeah, I thought it was a charge. I thought it was a charge.
Me too. And again, I was on... I had a small little teaser. I don't ever tease basketball. I think it's like the most worthless thing in the world. Marquette opened at 8.5. The total opened at 138.5. I was like, okay, I'll take some opening numbers. Teased it for like literally the first time in 3 years for fun, just to play around. So, I mean, honestly, it didn't matter. But Marquette, guy makes the first free throw. He's not a good free throw shooter. Second one rolls around the rim. There's 0.9 seconds left. Forward? Who, I don't even remember who it was, Joe.
No one boxed out,
and offensive player tips it in. Like one of those classic tip drills, and yep. Marquette wins by 1.
It was a good game.
It was.
For those who watched it, it was a good game.
The lead never got over 5 in either direction.
Yeah. So that was one outcome that happened last night. You had to be on the right side of it. Marquette was the right side of it. The only game I had was Oregon, and I thought they'd bounce back after they lost the other night. They were bad against Missouri. But then the football game last night. Appalachian State, ULL, Louisiana. This is a game, Dan. We talked about this on our podcast. I bet the under every year in this game. Did it hit again? I think it hit again last night.
Yep, hit last night.
I actually didn't touch the game at all because I was torn. Then the rain. Oh my god.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't watch it live. I got debriefed about it this morning. So the Louisiana team had some snapping issues, and late in the game on a 3rd and 2, they threw the football instead of trying to run it, and then on 4th down, they went into a long shotgun, and the quarterback ran it into the back of the end zone for a safety. They had a 5-point lead. Took the safety and made it a 3-point game?
I think you need to understand some more context of what happened there. The center, who they have they have the best long snapper in the entire conference, right? He's supposed to be elite, like people talk about how great he is. He had like three punts go over the punter's head. The punter had to kick it out of the end zone a couple of times. Three snaps, go over the punter's head. Punter had to kick it out of the end zone one time. He messed up an extra point. The guy was horrendous. I mean, it looked, I'm not kidding, it looked like Adam Sandler in the longest yard when he's throwing the game. Like, literally, it looked like the long snapper was throwing the game. There's no other
They didn't
excuse.
Put him back out there late.
And the fourth down, they didn't put him back out there. So instead, up five, with a minute left, they decided to take a safety.
Which oh my God, if you're a better, what are you doing?
I mean, Billy Napier, you're better off just pooch punting it at this point, right? Oh my God.
So the other thing too, Dan, and listen, if you have a problem snapping, what you do is the quarterback goes under center, pitches it back to the punter, and he punts it. Like, that's high school. That's Pop Warner.
Yep.
and again, the pooch punt. If I was the quarterback, I would have waved the coach off and kicked it away myself.
Me too. I mean, there's multiple options there. You know, at least you're forcing App State to get a touchdown. Instead, Napier has Levi Lewis take a safety. All they need is a field goal.
So then you give App State a chance just to tie the game on a field goal.
I mean, not to mention you have to kick off from further back. You have to do the whole punt thing. And, man, it was one of the dumbest decisions I've ever seen Napier make. I mean, again, it's like playing scared. And, I mean, they got lucky. There was a personal foul, a defensive pass interference. It got, like, I don't know, App State to, like, the 10, 15-yard line, and the kicker just shanked it. And so they won. How do you not shanked it? I mean, that goes to overtime. It ruins the under.
Yep.
Who knows if Lafayette wins? Instead, Lafayette finally beats App State for the first try in like eight times. It was a crazy game, dude. It was wild. That long snapper, I'm not kidding. That dude needs like an FBI pro. Like, I'm not even exaggerating. Like, that dude needs to be like, someone needs to look into what the hell was going on with that kid. Because it was more than just like bad football. Like, long snapper might have a play or two where it's bad and it happens, but like statistically, four or five bad snaps in the game is incredible.
It's just when you watch a lot of these games, man. Like this week in particular, we did our podcast Thursday night. I like got upstairs and we were talking about the Wright State game, and I'm like, oh, second half, the total's 80. That seems really high. I went under 80. It hit at 81.
Yeah, usually on the really, really high second half totals, if it's a low scoring first half, you got to go over. You got to go the other
way. So check this out, though. I looked the whole entire night. I just like kept track of everything. Every second half total was within 1 point. Everything. I'm sitting there and I'm like, the odds makers are on right now. Like, you just need to be on the right side. The flip side of it is the sides are like, you can get a side however you want. Like a second half. Like we were talking that night. Who was it? Utah was one that blew it out last night. Baylor was one yesterday. You could have got ULL second half. Oregon. Man, it's colors. But you could ULL, you could have got them second half last night if you wanted to. As a dog. I'm just saying, like.
No, they were a favorite. They were minus two.
Yeah, but they still covered, though.
They covered. Yeah.
But all I'm saying is like, that's the one thing I'm noticing is that the totals are coming down to the wire. Whereas if you take a side, you might have a better value.
I'm telling you what you got to notice is like the big trends. So for instance, I'll give it a little bit of angle. Yesterday on games that had games that had more points scored in the first half than the second half total yesterday. So you understand? You follow me there, Joe?
Yep.
So for instance, if you score 77 points in the first half and there's a total of 73.5 second half, the under went 9-0.
Huh.
And again, this is kind of like a, not to give out kind of my concept, but basically this is like a kind of like a theory on how you find spots in second half. If you don't understand, the best value you'll ever get on a sports book, the best edge you'll ever get is on second halves and props. It's not on full games or first halves. It's on second halves because books have to basically generate a line off a scenario that's happened in about, 30 seconds a minute. So their scenarios are, there's a massive edge in the second half, same with props. And, because you'll be able to, find some, stale props or some better prop lines. For instance, I was able to find a Gio Bernard over 26.5 rush yard and under 47.5 rush yard like last week. I mean, that's ridiculous. So, you need to take advantage of those things. I can't, we're not capable of giving out like prop plays. This is not possible. There's so many books. Every book has a different sort of prop. And, you know, it's looked down upon to do that.
Since the Lions team total under on Thanksgiving Day, I'm out.
I would say team total.
Damn, two-point conversion.
I'd say team totals are not really a prop. I'm talking about, like, Russell Wilson rush yards. Like, that type of prop.
Cam Newton to score the first touchdown?
Yeah, but, like, that's, like, a fun prop. I'm talking about, like, legitimate prop lines. Like, okay. You know, Tom Brady completions.
Will Carson Wentz have an interception? -160.
Right. Yeah. Jason Tatum like 3-pointers and stuff like that. Like there's a massive edge on these sort of props, especially the unders and plus money. You'll find bigger edges. So the concept is, anyways, you know, for college basketball, you want to look for, you know, find angles that work for you. I found a few that have worked for me. I got upset with someone yesterday about who, you know, trying to explain to me that I was a terrible person for taking the Maryland under at -133.5 instead of 135 because I was working and I missed the number, which I readily admit that I missed. But I mean, it's just, you know, and again, there's absolutely times where it matters.
Did you expect Maryland to score 48 points in the second half?
I mean, the second half they went off. There were 65 points in the first half. It felt good. I saw the second half line and I said, "Crap." You know, when there's a massive disparity like that, you know, it's not good. I mean, you know, it's the same. It was the same sort of line in that Wright State game, Joe. That Wright State Marshall game. But I do think that people need to learn second half lines. You have a massive advantage on the sports book compared to what you usually have. It's you have a bigger edge there and a bigger edge on props. It's the case comparatively to full games. Full games, your edge is minimal. Second halves, you know, you can find much better edges.
All right. That's our little vent session in the first segment here. We'll get into a games today. College basketball has begun, people. There's been some really good games, by the way. The Illinois game the other night, Baylor, those are two of the best teams in the country. I mean, if you want to, like, talk about two of the top five or ten teams.
Gonzaga and Baylor, to me, are the two best teams in the country.
And that's,
it's not close.
That's tonight, right?
That is not even tonight. It's 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock today, Gonzaga-Baylor. Gonzaga's a three-point favorite.
We have to talk about that game.
We will. Yeah.
Man, I've watched a lot of Gonzaga basketball this year. I'm worried about them today.
They are the deepest team I've ever
seen. You think so, huh?
They are so deep.
I want to talk about this because I feel like Baylor, I almost said Oregon. Baylor is just as deep. I think Baylor's just, now I'll say this. I don't think Gonzaga's lost talent, like Timmy and guys like that.
Timmy's still there.
Timmy's there. I mean, who's the other guy's name? The big guy there. Oh my God.
I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
The hell is the other guy's name? Anyways, he plays for Memphis now in the NBA. All I mean is they ended up getting like a top recruit in the country, Suggs. I thought he blew his Achilles out the other night.
Me too. He
came
fine.
Back in the game.
Yeah, he was fine. I thought he like broke his shin or something. It did not look good.
Right now, 2.5. Baylor's getting 2.5 points.
I see 3. So I think you're gonna see it bounce between 2.5, 3, and 3.5. It was 3.5 some places last night.
That total one, it's went opened at 163 down to 159.
Wow, that's low.
And Tucker, do you know the team that I have been rooting for in college football this year?
No, I don't.
It's Coastal Carolina, the Roosters.
Okay.
The Chanticleers.
Mm-hmm. That's your avatar. That's right.
All right. So you get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
My second favorite team is Zach Wilson and BYU. I love Zach Wilson this year. Do you know that they're playing today?
I heard that they were going to be playing. I wasn't sure if it was today. I'm just not a college football guy.
Okay. Coastal Carolina's game got canceled this week.
Okay.
And BYU had an off week.
Mm-hmm.
BYU last week was like, we'll play anybody.
Oh.
So Coastal and BYU said, let's play.
Interesting.
You know us.
They know you. They're the two best non-Power 5 teams in football, in my opinion. That's not fair. And Cincinnati. Cincinnati deserves is in that conversation too. BYU, 10-point favorite today, Tucker. This is, to me, this is a massive game because if BYU wins, it gives them a legitimate win for the playoff. And if Coastal wins, wow. I mean, if Coastal wins this game, Joe, then, you know, we were right about the Sun Belt. The Sun Belt is way better than we thought. And, you know, they're going to make some noise in the, you know, probably not in the college playoff because no one will give them a chance. But, you know, they have a legitimate claim to be in that playoff, in my opinion, over a one loss Clemson or a one loss Notre Dame. Screw those teams. Screw them. You lost. You're out.
I agree.
I don't care. You're out. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Trevor Lawrence. I know you had COVID. You lost. You're out.
All right, let's save the big games. I do want to get into this Gonzaga Baylor game. Let's save the big games today for the second hour. NFL, we got to mix in as well. We gotta. That's like the one thing that we do every week. And I don't know if it's something that we lean on. I know we're late here, but the college sports is like, I feel like where the money's at. The NFL is crazy this year. It's wild. I'll just give you Wednesday's football game, for example. The Pittsburgh should have blown that cover. They should have blown them out. Blew them out. A backdoor cover. Trace McSorley.
I had Baltimore second half and full game.
I mentioned this to you, but I was leaning Baltimore. I was like, all right, they just lost two in a row. They're going to go out and either beat or cover Pittsburgh. I had that. I was like waiting for it, and then the game got moved. And I'm like, nope, out. See you later. Done. Pittsburgh showed up thinking they could have just beaten them, and maybe they did.
They did.
But they should have covered. And a lot of people are upset. Yep. A lot of people. All right, we got to hit a break. We're late. Sorry, everybody. It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You blow money fast on the sets. Catch up. I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover.
All right, let's get into it.
Hallelujah.
We're going to do a lot of NFL today. We have to do it. Let's just do it. Gonzaga Baylor, 1 o'clock today. Both teams 3-0. Gonzaga, so the ranking that I see is Baylor 1, Gonzaga 2. I know there's different trends out there. I'm trying to find a preview. So, yeah, the last time the two teams played was last year. Gonzaga won 83-71. And some argue that Gonzaga is a better team this year. See, I think Baylor is better this year. And Jay Billis was even saying that he doesn't think Baylor is where they are yet. So he thinks that they're good. They could be one of the best teams this year. He thinks Gonzaga – Billis knows his stuff. I mean, come on. But, yeah, so he thinks Gonzaga is the best team right now too.
I think that they're definitely deeper than Baylor. Now, early on in the season, that doesn't – early on in the season, like when these teams are like 3-0, it really doesn't mean much. Like this game is more just of a barometer of, you know, where you guys stand, where you guys fit in terms of, you know, your quality, your depth, everything like that. You're going to want to see, you know, how good you are early on. You know, what can you do? What can't you do against really, really good teams who are good versus everything? This is if you're looking for basically the best college basketball matchup. I mean, this is it. You know, there's no one better than Gonzaga and Baylor in my mind. And I was 3 and Wisconsin's 4. We saw Wisconsin lose last night. I don't think Iowa is in the league of these two teams. I think these are the two teams that, you know, 50% of people have on their brackets at the end of the year, you know, barring injury. This is like, this is it. I mean, you know, Gonzaga to me is the deepest team in college basketball. They just have talent, ridiculous talent coming off the bench. Baylor to me might be have the best starting group of talent in college basketball, well coached. You know, it's Baylor. I mean, you know, it's crazy place to kind of want to go to college. But, I mean, this is the game. This is a massive game. And so to me, I'm not going to watch the 12 o'clock football. I'm going to watch, you know, Gonzaga Baylor at 1. And then flip over to Shantz BYU at, you know, what is it, 5:30?
Yeah, 5:30 kickoff for that one. Drew Timmy's the big man for Gonzaga. Jalen Suggs, a 5-star recruit. Could have went to anywhere, but went to Gonzaga. They replaced a lot of their talent this year. Their key guy is Corey Kispert. Like, this dude can do it all, man. He wears a headband. He does it all for Gonzaga. So again, I'm just looking at the line quickly. I lean over immediately. I am over right off the bat. Ooh, 160 though. Can they get into the 80s? These two teams.
I have a
150. Absolutely, they can.
I have a 159 here. It opened at 157.5, which makes me think there's, you know, this is going to be like a 81-75 type game.
Yeah, last year was 154.
Yeah, I'm not sure on the total. I feel better about the side. I personally like Gonzaga.
Who's played a tougher competition? Zags just played West Virginia, one of the best teams in the country.
Yep.
They were owning them on the board all night long. They had an 8-point lead at one point in the second half. Zags are like, no problem. Let's get our bench guys involved in the game, and boom. I mean, like, when Suggs went out of the game, dude, that could have taken the wind out of their sail. All they do is just bring up the backup point guard who played at, Lehigh or something, and it just does fine.
I think you can argue that both teams have played really good competition. Gonzaga, obviously, better. They played Kansas, beat them by 12. They played West Virginia. In my opinion, West Virginia is going to be a really sneaky tournament team this year. I took them early on at, 33-1 to have a chance to win March Madness. I think that they're incredibly deep. They're very good. I think they have a chance to win that conference, to be perfectly honest with you. They also played Auburn. I mean, those are three. You know, Auburn, not as good as they have been in the past, obviously.
High-scoring team, though, if you look at totals.
But, I mean, Gonzaga's played three really good teams. Baylor, I mean, they just blew out Illinois. Illinois is a very, very talented
very
team.
Very good team.
They beat Washington. I mean,
God.
It's not exactly
discussed that.
And they played Lafayette, who I think is a good offensive team. You know, I don't really know, you know, how good they are in terms of this year. It's, you know, they beat, was it New Orleans, I think their next game was. And so that, I mean, that's, you know, you're not going to really learn a lot from that. But, you know, both these teams have been challenged early on. Baylor blew out their competition in Illinois, and Gonzaga demolished Kansas, and they didn't cover versus West Virginia. They won by 5, and that was a game that, you know, probably they should have won by more, but didn't end up covering that game. To me, this is a game I stay away from. I'm looking at something second half. This is a game you must watch. If you love college basketball, this is the must watch game. I know it's early. Got to watch it.
So one thing I just want to mention in college basketball is really big. Recency bias. For example, the other night, Indiana got smoked, right? The next night, they're dogs to Stanford, who look good. They smoke Stanford. There is this thing in college basketball when you look at it. Texas was the other team, right? Who'd they beat?
North Carolina.
But like I said, North Carolina looked great the other night, right? Yep. Texas comes out and whips them the next day.
They barely beat them.
But what I'm saying, it's the buzzer. Yeah. But still, they were a dog. They won outright.
Yep.
All I mean is there's a lot of recency bias. For me, Baylor, to me, looked good the other night against a good team. So therefore, like, I look at it and say, well, maybe Baylor gets a little bit too much love. Gonzaga is the best team, and getting him at 3 points is probably easy. I don't want to call it easy money. Is the value?
Yeah, I lean Gonzaga the game. I think you need to find a 2.5. If you're playing a 3, I think you're playing a bad line. I think you need to play a 2.5 or better. I would not buy the point. Just saying that you need to play the 2.5 or better, in my opinion. Listen, it's going to be an awesome game.
One o'clock game. Does that make it an under, or do you look into those waking up early? Any of that stuff?
Yeah, I think that can be a profitable angle at times. I think that's for earlier in the season, because right now most teams have probably played 2, 3, 4 games by now. So early on in the season, yeah, I think that's something you can look at. But I think now that teams have, especially this year, a lot of early afternoon games and everything. No, I don't think it's a major problem right now, just because most teams have played 2, 3, 4 games at this point. You know, and some haven't. I mean, we're going to see like Marist and Binghamton start off today. Like, that conference, no one's played a game. So, like, you know, maybe that's an angle you look for in that type of
Brick City early on. Hey, our buddy Dan is in the car. What's up, Dan?
What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on? Today is a Joe Murray divided day.
I don't know what to do.
I feel for you, man.
We did discuss it on the podcast, though, but go ahead. We'll give our pick later.
I want to talk about Penn State and Rutgers.
Vomit.
I'm a big woof right now.
Ugh. Oh, Oh, that's like Buzz's girlfriend. Woof.
Oh, Dan. How could you? Yeah, what's up, man?
So Penn State this season is 1-5 against the spread. You know, they're a tough team to back against the spread. Rutgers is actually 4-2. They're actually a better team. The line opened at 9. It's now 11.5, 12, depending on where you get it. The over-under opened at 57. The Sharps bet it down to 52.5. I'm seeing a ton of money. Come on, Penn State. I don't know why. I think it's because they just beat Michigan. But I'm also seeing that Rutgers held Michigan to only a 6-point win the last time they met. I love Rutgers, 11.5. Both teams can put up points. I'm going to go against the Sharps here at 52.5. I'm going the over. I want to get your guys' thoughts.
So I've not seen anything on the total for the reason the drop. I would look into the weather.
This is the worst game, Dan. What are you looking for? What are we looking for
here? I believe it's supposed to be cold and rainy in Piscataway, which is probably one of the reasons for the total drop there, Dan.
The under 6-0 in the last 6 meetings.
Okay, so there you go.
But throw the trends out the window. I'm done.
The 2020 trends suck, man. I tell you.
They're worthless. What are we, week 13? They're out on trends.
They're worthless, dude. I'm telling you. The trends are worthless in COVID year. It's supposed to be cold and rainy in Piscataway, so I mean there's probably a good reason with for the under there. I'm sure there's some wind, yada yada yada. That always happens. So that's probably an overreaction to the total there, Dan. If you're looking to play the over, I wouldn't blame you. In terms of Penn State, second game back to back on the road. I never like backing a Power 5 team on their second game on a back to back roadie. It's just a spot I always stay away from. Always. At the same time, Rutgers probably is being overvalued right now, right? I mean, they got their, they've been in these games, but it's Rutgers. There's going to be a clunker mixed in there, and Penn State finally had a nice ball game last week.
Oh, God.
That being said, Dan, I agree with you. I would go with Rutgers on the over.
This is like, the Jags and
listen, you know, we talk about every game. I agree with you, Dan. Which is probably terrible because I've been terrible in college football, so I would take what I'm saying and go the other way.
Hey Tucker, is there a game in the NFL you want to talk about?
In particular?
Yeah, you got anything? You got any fantasy implications this week on anybody?
Honestly, I haven't done my full fantasy prep. It's just been a week of hell with my kid. I'm trying to prepare today.
It's okay. But any game you want to prepare on?
You want to prepare
up
right
next?
Now?
What?
Any game you want to talk about coming up next?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my god. I feel like Tux is having a bad week.
Sorry,
man.
Tuck.
I mean. Yeah, we can get into it. I like the Rams and Cardinals. That's pretty interesting.
I got a stat for you on that one. But the trends, again, who cares? All that coming up next here on the DraftKings Over Under Show.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz. The DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're all over the place today, jumping around. We did a little college basketball, college football. Rams, Arizona. We saw what Arizona did last week against the Patriots. They didn't cover. They had a chance to score before the half and then get the ball back. So what did they do on fourth down? They went for it instead of kicking a field goal and getting the ball back and scoring. Instead, they got 0 points and they lost the game. So I blame the loss on Kingsbury, not to mention the kicker missed the kick.
We talked about that.
And then Kingsbury, he sucks. He cost him that game. I also will die on this hill. I will die on this hill that Cam Newton was still in bounds and it was not helmet to helmet. Whatever. We don't have to argue about it.
I mean, to me, he hit him in the helmet. I don't think,
The shoulder?
So what? That's not the rule. That's not the rule. The rule is if you hit him in the helmet.
And I do think the rule was right on the Gunnar Olszewski call. I just think that it's a stinky rule.
Well, that was just ridiculous.
That's a stinky rule.
Yeah, right call.
And being really honest, you can't hit the guy. You have to shield. Like you have to be like a pick. You know what I mean? It's a crap rule.
It's the dumbest effing rule.
But what I'm trying to say is, of the two, I would have let the punt one slide. Sorry, I would have let that one go and not penalize the one on the hit to Cam Newton because he was still in bounds. Whatever. Anyways, I sound like a guy who lost a bet. Right call. Anyways. So Arizona this week there, Tucker, I know you're interested in that one. Do you know that they are not good?
Arizona?
No, Arizona's not good right now.
Oh, yeah. I think Kyler's more hurt than he's leading on.
Against the spread, they are like, and I have the number here, Dan. I'll get it for you again. Yeah, so the Rams are hot right now. Even though they lost last week to... No. Let me give you the trends. Let me look it up real quick.
It just screams of a Rams bounce back, doesn't it?
Yeah. I feel the same way.
And I took the Cardinals on the podcast the other day. I hate it. I already hate it. I'm already second guessing my decision because yeah, I think Arizona's like 1-7 or something ridiculous against the Rams in the last few games.
The Rams smoked them last year, 34-7. I think, right?
Yep. And I mean, here's the other thing: they're 3-point dogs at home. Mm-hmm. And I took them. I feel like an idiot already for doing it.
I mean, I think you could backtrack now.
Nope.
No? Why? Nope. Saturday.
You got to own it. You got to own it. I PP'd it. Got to own it. Yep. So
you PP'd it. Yeah. You can't go back on a PP.
Nope.
Can't go backwards on a PP.
I got to own it.
You can't go back on a PP.
Yep. So
Is that a rap somewhere?
Somewhere. But yeah, but I feel stupid. It was probably the wrong side. But to say the Rams have been hot, I mean, they lost to the Dolphins and the Niners the last few games. And can't say they're hot.
I apologize for saying that. Arizona is 0-4 against the spread since their bye week. They were 5-2 against the spread prior to that. Now, here's where I mentioned the Rams are hot. The Rams are 6-0 straight up and 5-0-1 against Arizona.
There you go.
The last six times they played them.
Yeah.
They've won by an average of 23 points. They've covered by an average of 15 points. So, sorry, if for those selective listeners out there, what I meant was hot against Arizona.
To be fair, they've only played with Kyler Murray twice. So, I'm gonna go with the same way. I don't care about anything they've done before Kyler Murray. What they've done before Kyler Murray means jack to me. Irrelevant. Completely irrelevant. With Kyler Murray, they're 0-2. And Murray is hurt, as you alluded to. He's not rushing a lot, which I think is a big problem. And, I think they're in trouble. Joseph said they were 0-4 in the last four games against the spread. They probably should be 0-4 straight up, with the exception of the DeAndre Hopkins miracle catch. And, of course, they didn't cover it.
And then they had that comeback against Seattle that they had a Metcalf touchdown call back.
And they didn't kick the stupid extra point. Like, I hate you.
There's another one.
I hate you, Kingsbury.
There's another one.
Yeah.
Oh, Kingsbury's not a guy you want to bet on right now.
So I already feel stupid if you point it.
I agree with you guys. I think that the Rams are a bounce back here. I do. Despite their loss last week.
I mean, really, the Cardinals should have lost four in a row. Well, I'm just looking at the Bills' Hail Mary play.
Well, yeah, but they lost to the Dolphins before.
I think Kyler Murray's a good quarterback. I do.
That's right.
He's definitely got a shoulder injury. He's not running as well. And I think the loss of Larry Fitzgerald showed last week, too.
Yeah, but I mean, Larry Fitzgerald is like a...
It's Kingsbury. I'm sorry. I don't even know what I'm talking about. It's Kingsbury. Oh, my God, did he make... So, just another...
That backfield should be lethal, and it's not.
So, look, can I just bring this up real quick? So, before their missed field goal, it's third and two, right? They do a counter play to Drake. He gets stopped, right? So, now it's fourth and one with 2 minutes to go, two and change to go. Why don't you go for it? Here's the deal. If you go for it, you now have control of the football. You run the ball with Drake and Clement, whatever the hell the guy's name is.
Edmonds.
And then you set up the field goal at the end of the game. If you miss, you go to overtime. No matter what, if you miss the fourth down there, Cam Newton still has to go down the field. He threw for 89 yards. They had 179 yards of offense. Whatever. I'm sorry. I'm still not over that game. I'm still not over it. All right, let's hit a break. Let's hit a break real quick. And we got to get more NFL in. There's some big games today as well. And we'd love to hear from you at 617-779-0985.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, back here, 98.5, the Sports Hub, finally back on the clock. Cleveland rocks, blah, blah. Tennessee, the Titans, 8-3?
Both teams, 8-3.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big game.
Talk about, a double look there. Browns 8-3, Titans 8-3. I think people thought the Titans would be good this year.
Tucker, did you think the Browns would have 8 wins this year?
No.
Neither did I.
No. I thought they would be hovering around 500, to be honest. They'd be better than last year, but not 8-3.
They have a real coach. I mean, Stefanski.
Seems legit.
Yeah, right? And they were going to go with Josh McDaniels.
I mean, they're doing it with, Baker not really being anything close to an above average quarterback. Dude, he's just a game manager.
He's terrible. Just hands the ball off. I mean,
good.
Did you guys see the play last week where he had two open receivers in the end zone and overthrew both? I mean, it was one of the worst passes I've ever seen. I think Cam Newton, left-handed with his eyes closed, could have made that throw. And Cam Newton has been bad.
All right, if I had to choose, I want Baker over Cam.
Well, me too, but I'm just saying, I think that one throw.
No. Baker hasn't been good. And I actually think Tannehill's been pretty good. I mean, he had a good year.
Yeah,
there were a couple of bumps a couple of weeks ago, but it looks like he's getting hot again. And you got Mr. December and Derrick Henry is just plowing over people now.
He needs a run game, right? I think we can all agree. Tannehill needs an effective run game to be at his best. And I think when Henry is going well, Tannehill's super effective.
So listen, the last time these two teams met, Tennessee won 43-13.
I would kind of say it's irrelevant.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, the Browns are a different team this year. They're finally just focusing on using Chubb, the Chubb-Hunt combo, and those two teams, those two guys have been elite this year. Really have been fantastic, for the Browns, even in their close games. Outside that Raiders game where it felt like they got shut down, I know Chubb didn't play that game, but, other than that, I mean, really, those two guys have been really good, especially when Chubb's been healthy. Cleveland's been a good team, and I know that they struggled versus Jacksonville last week and didn't get that cover. They got backdoored, obviously. But how do you guys feel about this spread? Because I'll be honest with you, despite the fact that our biggest fan from 10-2 is on the Browns, I feel like the whole world loves the Browns this week, and it does kind of feel similar to that Titans-Ravens spot a couple weeks ago where the whole world was on the Titans getting 5 or 6, and then they end up winning the game outright, which I was on the Ravens in that spot. I'm not going to make the same mistake and go, with the Browns or the Titans this week. I just think it's kind of a similar situation where the look ahead was 3 points as it was in that game, and now it's 6. What is the reason for the 3-point increase?
I'm looking at it two ways here. One, the Browns are a terrible road team. They're 1-10 against the spread in their last 11 road games. They're terrible against the spread on the road.
That's true.
They're a terrible road team.
They didn't cover versus the Jags last week.
And that's why I'm out on them. Last week should have been a game that they covered. They didn't. The other thing, too, is if they don't score more than 8 points, they don't win. So I am leaning under in this game. Under 53, you know what?
Low PP.
A little how do you do? A
little ring the bell there, little son. Cleveland's going to have difficulty scoring in the game.
I mean, look at the road scores for Cleveland.
There's going to be a lot of running going on.
At the Ravens, 38-6. At the Cowboys, now they ran down the Cowboys' throat, especially Kareem Hunt that game. 49-38. They scored 49 points. So that was also when we thought the Cowboys were good and we realized they suck. Their next road game on the road versus the Steelers, they lose 38-7. And then last week, they beat the Bengals the week afterwards, 37-34 in the game they did not cover. And then the Jaguars last week, they did not cover again, 27-25. They are 1-4 against the spread on the road this year.
Not a good road team.
Interesting. Not a good road team, and definitely have struggled versus the better of the two road teams they played, the Ravens and the Steelers. Combined score there, 76-13. That's bad.
Just one other thing to throw in here, real quick, Tucker. If the Browns lose this game, it opens things up for the other teams in the AFC.
Patriots.
Do we know if Myles Garrett is back?
He is.
Okay. I know Denzel Ward's out for the Browns, right?
Ward's out.
That's a big loss.
Yeah, Garrett is back. I just read that actually a minute ago here.
Yeah, it's just, again, I'm looking at the spread. Look at was three. What? Why is it six? Is there some sort of COVID problem or some sort of
five
problem?
And a half, five.
Yeah, five and a half, six, whatever. Is there some sort of problem going on with the Browns we don't know about? This is, I mean, it's not like. You know, it's a crazy jump. It's just, it's a lot of points for a look at line to move based upon two 8-3 teams, right? I mean,
lots of running going on this week.
Feels like a fast game.
That's exactly what I'm thinking. Low scoring, fast game.
Baker Mayfield pick six.
Yep. And I think the Titans win. I think they win the game.
I think if you run the ball, I mean, if and these two teams run the hell of the ball, it definitely helps the under. Baker Mayfield pick six. I mean, that's like the only thing I can think of is maybe Baker Mayfield has been so bad that they're taking 3 points off. I mean, it's not home field advantage or anything. I don't know. I don't understand this line. But I will tell you this: if you're on the Browns, you're with everyone else. I mean, I got like three emails last night. Game of the year, Browns plus six.
Oh, you saw
game
that.
Of the, oh, yeah.
Anybody? Yeah. Yeah. That's my game of the week, I heard someone say. And then I just started tweeting out statistics about that.
Do you know that he carries two dimes around with him just in case?
Okay, all right.
Just in case a poker game breaks out. A high-stakes poker game.
Let's talk about it. RJ Bell. I don't know RJ Bell. I don't know him. He talks about us. I don't know him. We don't know him. I don't know him.
Well, he blocked me on Twitter.
Okay, he blocked Dan on Twitter. But I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just a little jab from like Zoe. I don't know. But like that guy, Dan and I are two guys who work at a radio station who started the gambling podcast and want to talk gambling on the radio. We thought it would be like a cool show. So we're two dudes. We don't solicit picks. We don't, hey, call me now for picks. We're just like two dudes. We try to be entertaining, and this is what we do. RJ Bell like gets paid to be like a face on like radio. And he, you know, forget it. You can read about his past. I'm not going to bring up any transgressions. I don't want to, you know, have a radio war like some other stations are right now asking people about their past.
Google Deadspin and pregame.com.
All I'm trying to say is that when someone says, oh, yeah, I walk around with $2,000 in my pocket in case there's a poker game that breaks out, you're like a real...
You're a tool.
Yeah, well,
tool.
I walk around with maybe $6 in my pocket.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I don't care if you're RJ Bell. I don't care if you're Brent Musburger. You say that, you're a tool.
You're a tool.
That's I don't care
who
you are.
You're an
and
effing
I love,
tool.
I love Brent Musburger.
And you know, Brent,
I'm just bringing up anything. You know
Musburger would never say it like that. He'd be like, yeah, Samir, you know, just in case, like, you know, something cool. Because Musburger's the man.
Musburger would, hey, you want in? Sure. He would just pull out the wand.
Yeah, exactly. Because Musburger's the man.
Al Michaels would be like, well, what do we got for action today?
Exactly. You know? He's old school. He's not a toolbox.
Someone would pull out an envelope, right?
I carry two dimes around me just in case a high stake poker game breaks out.
Brett Musburger feels like a guy who would be like, hey, what's Venmo?
Yeah, but no, but like, I'm being serious.
What are you talking about?
This has nothing to do
PayPal.
With us liking the guy or nothing. It's just you said that on the radio, bro. Like, you said that on the radio. I walk around with $2,000 in my pocket anytime there might be a poker game. You loser. Oh, my God. That's such a... Who does that? Who tells... What kind of gambling guy ever tells anybody how much money they're going to win? Forget it. Nice. We should move on from this.
And the thing is, just FYI, it's like every single week he takes shots at us. Every single week. And we don't respond. We don't respond. We
it's great.
I'm tired of it. You run a fraudulent website. Your site lost $350,000 in 5 years, bro. Your guys you hire for picks suck.
Just real quick.
Suck.
I know our picks haven't been great either.
No, neither
but we're not
at least we own it.
At least, but we're not we don't solicit. We're just here on the radio talking about it. I don't know. We're late, Tucker, but
who cares? I don't care.
Go Titans. How about that? Let's finish on this. Go Titans. I have a rooting interest that's not money related in the Titans now. There you go. That's all you need to know.
I'll just stop. I'll just stop.
I'm going Titans.
I'm not a sensitive person. I know that lately there's been like, oh, gambling's or like, you know, the Bengal boys are weak or boring or whatever. Like, it's just that, like, we got a defender. We can't win. Right. If we go 11-0 one week or go over, we can't win. It's just, you gave out a line that wasn't the right line. It's like, we're just giving you the line we see in front of us. You know what I mean?
It's like everyone says, oh, you're sensitive. Dude, take shots like week after week after week. Like, at some point, you're going to, respond, right?
This is what I was going to say. It's okay if one of the biggest names in sports betting wants to talk about us. Like,
it's not a bad thing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you know, it's fine. You know, I've said, hey, you were good in Ballers. I used to watch that show, but I don't know if anyone does anymore.
He was in Ballers?
I saw it while he was at the poker table with The Rock once.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Do you have $2,000 on him?
You know what? He probably did.
I had two dimes on me, bro.
And listen, I'm not crying. I hope, like, oh, God, if this gets played, whatever.
Oh, it definitely will.
If it will, it's fine. I just want to tell you that if you go around telling people you have $2,000 in your pocket, you're a tool. And no guy that's a gambler ever tells anybody how much money they have in their pocket. We got hour number hour number two here on the Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. So Dan, what do you got today? Let's get the college basketball stuff out of the way, because there's really only a couple of there's only really one top 25 matchup today.
Yeah, I mean there's really not much in terms of major teams playing. I mean, the thing is that one game probably covers your entire day. There are some other good games, so we can talk about those. 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. SMU Dayton. In Dayton. Dayton's a 2.5-point favorite. Obviously, no Obi Toppin. Opened the year with a win. SMU 3-0. So that is a pretty good game. Now, I will say Dayton struggled versus Eastern Illinois. He has not been good this year so far. That being said, SMU's 3-0 record probably a little inflated. They've played Texas A&M CC. Houston Baptist and another team called Sam Houston State, which, if you know, they've been terrible. So, I mean, we really don't know how good SMU is. Dayton 2.5-point home faves. That one should be interesting. There is another game. Kansas, 7th-ranked Kansas, takes on North Dakota State. North Dakota State has been terrible so far this year. 0-3 start. Kansas a 23.5-point favorite, so not a great game. 4 o'clock, there is an interesting one, Joe, and it's a Pac-12 matchup. Washington State, 3-0 Washington State on the road in Boulder, taking on Colorado, is 2-0. Colorado is laying 10.5 against this Washington State team, who beat a good Eastern Washington team, beat a good Oregon State team at home, played very well, beat Texas Southern, who's, you know, been playing other teams pretty tough. And, you know, Colorado opened with South Dakota and Kansas State, and they demolished Kansas State, as they should, but really interesting game there. Colorado laying 10.5 points in that one. It's a hell of a lot. South Carolina, Houston's a 9.5-point favorite. They're ranked, Joe. They're number 10 in the country, so that's an interesting game. And then I'd say two of the weirder spreads of the day, just to kind of go over it. UNLV, 0-4 on the road at Kansas State. They are 2-point dogs. Kansas State laying 2. We talked about how Kansas State at the beginning of the year, probably not very good. I think Kansas State's going to get a lot of love, and UNLV has a good offense. As you talked about earlier, Joe, they were in that game versus UNC in the first half before UNC pulled away second half. I think UNLV has a chance to not only cover but win this game with the 2 points. And then Utah State hosts BYU, who everyone is really hot about, despite their loss to USC. Big win versus St. John's after that. Utah State 1-2, and including a loss to San Diego State and VCU, but you know, they're 1.5-point faves against 4-1 BYU at home today.
BYU's been good. They've been a nice little. They lost early on, but they've been a good team.
Yep, I mean,
and for some reason, a lot of their spreads have been low. I forget who we had the other night. They 1.5, 2-point favorites. I forget that. Yeah,
I mean, again, looking at 4-1, it's inflated. I mean, they played a, you know, a non-Division I team. Then they played, you know, New Orleans, who they demolished. And then they played Utah Valley, who is probably one of the worst teams in the WCC. You know, so, I mean, I think their 4-1 record is probably inflated. They do have a nice win versus St. John's. That was a good win. Got to give them credit on that. They got blown out by USC, though. So I think that there's a chance that we see more of the BYU-USC type team going forward. And there might be some value in that Utah State game. That's one I'm going to be paying close attention to. If I didn't have some other plays in other sports, I would look at that. But I'm going to be paying very close attention to that Utah State game.
I thought I watched USC UConn the other night. Another spread that was 2, and the game ended at 3. USC could not hit a 3-point shot until like maybe late in the game there. UConn. So those two brothers. What are they? What's their last name? Mobley brothers. They're good. Yep. Like I think USC could be a surprising team, but Arizona State's probably the best team in the conference.
I mean,
besides Baylor,
Book Knight was really good for UConn as well. He was very impressive. He got hurt too, and still battled through the injury. UConn actually, I think, plays today as well, if I remember correctly. Maybe not. I don't remember. I thought they did, but maybe not. Maybe that game got canceled because everything gets canceled these days. So, listen, I think they did. They got canceled. NC State, UConn canceled. That sucks. That was going to be a good game, good early game to look at. I do think, that obviously, in terms of college basketball, the slate's pretty poor, with the exception of that Gonzaga-Baylor game today. So that kind of sucks.
I want to get into some football games, NFL football games, and we got to get into college football too. But I want to get into I want to see what's doing today. Chicago, what is going to happen to them? Woof. The Saints, I got a little something on that thing this week. Saints game there, and Seattle and the Giants, a little something on that. We'll talk about all those games coming up next, and we don't forget BYU Coastal Carolina. It's the big one.
I'm also giving out 2 soccer picks today.
Whoa! Yeah. Oh, and you know what? The Revs play tomorrow.
Yes, they do. They do. But the picks are not on the Revs. Not on the Revs.
Okay.
You can play.
All right, 617-779-0985. That's the phone number if you want to jump aboard. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. Oh, man. Funny day. Hey, is the sun out yet? No.
No.
All right, I want to blow through a couple of games here because I have a lot of trends that mean nothing that I figured a lot of people would love. What's Miami this week? What do we got? What's doing? Is he even playing?
Tuck, you can help out here as well. I've heard that he's questionable, true game-time decision. I don't know why you would start him. I mean, right now, Miami looked fine last week with Fitzpatrick, and it's against the Bengals. Like, if this was against a good team and you felt too it was truly the best option, fine. But, you know, rest him against the freaking Bengals and Brandon Allen. Like, what are we doing?
I would be very, very, very surprised to see Tua.
Me too, but...
Yeah, I wouldn't play him either with a thumb injury.
Take care of business with Fitzpatrick against the Bengals and get your future ready.
They took a chance. It worked, right? They took a chance with Tua. It worked. He got injured. You're in a playoff race right now. You got to go with the guy that's in there. And listen, if Fitzpatrick doesn't play well, you go back to Tua. It's just, it's literally, they're in a good situation there. I just want to throw out some things. Miami's covered 6 of their last 7 games. And when they do cover, their 7 wins have come by an average of 15 points. So when they win, dude, they cover. Like, there's no problem there. The other thing I wanted to mention, Dan, and you brought this up on the podcast this week. The Dolphins are 10. What is up with this?
It's your buds.
No, they're in my ears.
Yeah. I know, but not good.
The Dolphins are 10-1 against the spread in 6-point teasers. Now, maybe just explain it quickly in a minute. Can you do it in a minute about the teasers? Because... You know, basically, they're one of the teams, and Buffalo's the other team, the Giants.
If you have a team above 7.5 points, a favorite of 7.5 or more, you tease it down. Teasers are like 23-0 in the past few weeks. the teaser signs. If you have a dog of between 7 and 10, you tease them up. They're hitting ridiculous amounts. If you have a teaser of a total of 44 or below, you tease that down. So you're taking the over, teasing it down. And those sides, again, I can give you the actual statistics later on. But yes, Miami would qualify as a teaser side that fits that category,
Joe. Boom. So Miami's 10-1 in that case in the teaser. The other teaser is Buffalo, who plays San Francisco. They're a one-point dog right now. There were two.
So that would not qualify.
So you wouldn't do that this week?
That would not qualify.
Okay. And then the other team that was in there was the Giants.
Yeah, so the Giants game, the Raiders game, the Vikings game, the Dolphins game.
You get the Giants, what, 18 right now?
And the Chiefs game. Those are the Steelers and Washington. All those games qualify, which is crazy because usually we're not seeing this many big faves. Mm-hmm. Those are the games that would qualify under those stipulations.
All right, so we'll find out what's going to happen there when it comes to the quarterback situation. The other game that I wanted to just touch on real quick is Chicago. Chicago has lost 5 straight games. They're 1-4 against the spread.
They were 5-1, dude.
Dude, they're averaging 7.8 points per game through 3 quarters, but they averaged almost 10 points just in the fourth quarter of this year. This season, teams that fire their coach, Houston, Atlanta, 2-0 against the spread the following game.
Do they beat Detroit here? Do they beat Detroit without me?
Would you ride that trend?
My doppelganger.
Would you ride that trend?
Trends being crap in 2019.
Would you ride the trend of a 2-0 when a team fires the coach, they win the next game? It's 2-0.
Yes, but it's hard because I know the players in Detroit hated Patricia, right? They hated me. I don't know, man. This week it feels like everyone's going to be on that train. Everyone's going to be on Detroit, right? Everyone's riding the Lions because the Bears suck and the Lions got rid of Patricia. Tuck, how do you feel?
So, I mean, the trend that we've seen, and we saw it with the Texans where Bill O'Brien got canned, the trend has always been coach gets fired, team rallies around coach getting fired and wins. But
2-0. 2-0.
The Lions,
it's gotta be more than
the Lions
that,
right? Are
2-0 against the spread.
Lions are a bottom 5 team, man. Like,
there's they no won doubt. Every
Galladay's
game
out.
In those games, they've won by 16 or more after they fired a coach. Who's been canned?
It was Atlanta, it's, Houston, and who else?
No, Houston has fired their coach.
Houston, yeah, Houston. Atlanta.
Is that it? Yeah.
That's it.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. So both teams, 2-0.
Okay. I thought it was 3 coaches.
Do you ride it again? And again, they've won by 16 or more.
No, I don't. But you know what? I can't back Mitch Trubisky in the Bears either.
I know. So anyways, for those that really want to bet on something crazy, there's a trend. Team that just fired. Oh, we already talked. Dude, this year, any model. Oh, my God. It's been really hard.
This game is disgusting.
All right. How about another one? You mentioned Atlanta. The Saints have won 8 straight games. They've covered 6-point teasers in 8 straight games, Dan.
Ooh.
They've covered 4 straight. New Orleans has covered 5 of the last 6 meetings in this, and then the last 4 meetings have gone under with the Falcons. For some reason, why do I circle the Falcons this week? Why do I have the Falcons circled this week? And the thing is I can give you all the trends in the world. Everything will back New Orleans. Everything. Why do I like Atlanta?
I don't know. I think Atlanta's a trendy dog. They're 3-1 in their last 4. They're obviously playing up. But the thing is, last time they played the Saints, they got dismantled. And that was with Taysom Hill, right? I mean, Taysom Hill, you know, for the most part, you know, 24 points in a division game. Matt Ryan, the offense, couldn't do anything. I know they had a nice bounce back last week.
24-9, yeah, that matchup, you're right.
I know they had a nice bounce back last week, but it's hard for me to get excited about backing Atlanta in the spot still.
New Orleans rushed for 166 yards that game.
I expect Atlanta to have a better game plan versus Taysom Hill. I do. But that being said, like, you know, you don't know if Julio Jones is going to play. It sounds like he is. Tuck, do you have any update on that? I'm not sure. It sounds like Julio Jones might play. Todd Gurley didn't play last week. We don't know about his arthritic knee, which is the reason they kept him out last week. To me, I don't think I can back the Falcons. I think I would go New Orleans or nothing.
Taysom Hill, 18 of 23 passing, He did rush 10-49 for two touchdowns. Michael Thomas had 9 catches for 104 yards in his return in that game. I don't know why. The line should not be 3 by any means. I've circled Atlanta this week, and trust me, I don't want to bet them. I've circled it.
So Julio is still questionable with a hammy.
Okay. Do you have anything on Gurley? I think Gurley's...
Gurley has a knee issue, questionable.
Yeah, it's the arthritic knee. They knew they were going to have to manage him at some point this year. I don't think he's going to play. I would be surprised if he played. Which, of course, I have him in fantasy, so that's fun.
I mentioned this on the podcast, Dan. Seattle has had fewer than 50 points scored in each of their last 3 games. The Giants have had fewer than 50 points scored in 6 straight games. Colt McCoy, 7-20-1 against the spread, including 6 straight against the spread losses, the worst percentage in the NFL since 2000. So, again, Tucker, just to dumb this down for you.
Thanks. You're dumbing it down for me. Appreciate that.
And all the listeners. Colt McCoy.
I appreciate that.
I would take that personally.
Colt McCoy is the worst quarterback against the spread to bet on.
Oh, you had to dumb that down for me? That Colt McCoy is not good? I appreciate that, Joe. Thanks for putting that in perspective. I really needed you to tell me that Colt McCoy sucks. Thank you for dumbing that down for me.
I really had to do that. 7-20-1 against the spread. That's 26%. I mean, Cam Newton's better than that. The worst. If I asked you who's the worst quarterback to bet on since 2000, you wouldn't even think of Colt McCoy.
Probably not. I think you were mean to Tuck. I think Tuck's
having a bad day, I think, actually. I think I'm just fine. And if people are offended,
it's okay. I got $2,000 in my pocket.
Good. Hey, you want to break out a poker game? High stakes poker game, boys. No, Let's do it.
I have $3. Never mind.
I've gotten so much crap for that today, by the way.
Who cares?
Such a tool bag.
You guys shouldn't talk about other people's picks. Listen, I know. I actually said that. Didn't I say that? Yeah. I shouldn't talk about other people's picks because I picked
something. Oh, no.
Everybody else hear that or no?
We've been.
I did say that.
Dumb it down for me.
That was a good comeback, Tucker. Though.
Okay, all right.
Anyways, any other games you want to talk about? We'll do the Patriots on the other side. What else
can you
got
dumb
there?
Down for me?
can we dumb down?
So by the way, what do we do with that game? what do you do with that game? Is it just an automatic fade to the Giants? I don't know. I looked at it this week. 11 points, Seattle.
Pound Seattle.
See, I don't think so.
Oh, stop it. Dumb it down for me.
But again, 26%. The favorite 6-1 in the last 7 meetings.
I bet you the Giants score a bit.
Giants 0-4 against the spread the last 4 meetings between these two teams.
That Seattle defense, I know they looked better last week, but that Seattle defense is putrid. It's really, really bad. It really is. I bet you the Giants score a little bit this week. I do. I mean, I'm not expecting miracles, or I bet you a Colt McCoy pick 6 or I think it ends up being like a higher scoring game than we think, just because Colt McCoy is garbaggio, and so is that Seahawks defense.
Colt McCoy, man, he
dude, gave... RG3 scored points on the Steelers.
I mean, think about this: it's 2020, right? RG3 played this week. Colt McCoy played this week, and Andrew Luck is retired.
We're old. Before we go to break,
and Sting's back in wrestling. Sorry, go ahead.
Before we go to break, I want to talk about Bama LSU.
I
have a play on this game.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let's just set this up. This game was a national championship game. How many years ago? They played 3 times in 1 season, didn't they?
Yep.
This used to be the premier game. Dan, today, what else would there have been? There would have been the Gonzaga-Baylor in the morning.
BYU, it was supposed to be like Gonzaga-Baylor. Yeah. I guess Coastal Carolina-BYU didn't exist. Yes. And then Bama-LSU, yeah. That was it.
You know, and then like now we get LSU is what? Is it worth? I'm going to ask you this. Throw everything out the window.
It's not worth watching.
No. Throw it all out the window. I think Alabama's the best team in the country. Don't get me wrong. Whatever. And I think any number you put up, I think they win today. But is it worth any value of taking LSU today?
PP, Bama LSU over 66.
Oh, ring the bell!
I think Bama's going to probably put up 40, 50 by themselves, and I think LSU will probably put up at least 20 points in this game. The Bama backups have not been good. I just want to give you guys a heads up. The Bama backups have been bad.
Yeah, tell me. I watch Mac Jones just throw the ball to stars. So I think Mac Jones has really come around, but like I look at him and I'm like, dude, all he does is throw to stars. Like, I think you could put Cam. I shouldn't use that. I think you should put us. You could put us on that team.
I think Mac Jones is better than people are giving him credit for.
No, I agree with you.
But,
I agree.
But that being said,
29 points, dude.
Okay, Bama put up 42 against Auburn, 63 against Kentucky, 41 versus Mississippi State, 48 versus Tennessee. The backups allowed early in the season allowed two unsolicited touchdowns to Missouri, a touchdown to Texas A&M, two touchdowns to Ole Miss, and a touchdown to Georgia. Okay. Now they didn't use their backups in the Mississippi State game. They didn't allow a point there, but Mississippi State was in the leech in that team. Kentucky had their backups in and against the backups there. I think LSU is going to score some today. I do. And I think Bama will put up their usual 40 to 50 points. And I think we'll see this go over the total. PP, that's my college play for the week. Okay.
Tucker, you don't think I talked down to you, do you?
No.
Yeah, thank you.
No, it's all in good fun. Yes.
No. That was funny. I'm sorry, Dad. I know you're in the middle of a rant.
Please feel free to have the floor.
No. We work on other shows, and sometimes we're talked down to. Don't you think?
Yeah. Constantly.
Okay. People think that because I've been talked down to, they defend me, but they think I might have been talking down to Tucker.
I think you were kind of. I think it was a little bit of a talk down. Yeah,
I don't think I did.
It was. Oh yeah, you did. It was a joke. No,
Tucker is someone that has an office type personality, like the show, what? And like The Office. I like The Office. Like, you have you're witty. You know.
All right. I don't know what The Office has to do with that.
I like the show.
Michael Scott is not witty.
But what I mean though is when I tell you that, you know, let me just dumb it down for you, that's funny. I said that Colt McCoy's the worst, and you go, like, you really need to dumb it down for me.
Right.
Yeah, it was a joke.
That was funny.
It was a joke. You weren't actually being serious.
I wasn't talking down.
I know that. But I mean, like,
for people
who don't understand your relationship with Tucker, they may have misunderstood that.
Yes.
That's all. But yes.
What do you got for a bet? What do you got?
I gave you what I got. Bam, over. LLC, over. Give me the over 66.
You know, I might still watch this game.
Oh, God.
Anything on at 8 o'clock tonight?
I'd rather watch some terrible college basketball game. I mean, honestly, BYU Coastal should probably go to 8:30, right? Mm-hmm.
Let's get into that.
Okay.
And the Patriots play in L.A.
And I have soccer picks for you, so I want to get those up.
Soccer.
Yes. Football.
Make sure to call it a keeper.
The beautiful game.
Not a goaltender, as I found out last week.
It's not a goaltender, it's a keeper.
No, I know.
Oh, netminder.
Oh, you didn't hear?
Did you get in trouble for that?
No, we had the Matt Turner on.
Yeah.
And I asked him, what's the difference between a mentality of a NHL goaltender and a hockey, keeper?
An NHL goaltender.
And he goes, well, the biggest difference is I'm not a goaltender.
Yeah, he's not.
No. I didn't call him a goaltender.
Would you call him?
I didn't. I said, "Are you?" I said, "We got." I even introduced, "Hey, we got the keeper, the Revs, on the show today." Oh, what I tried to do is, you know how like goalies are crazy,
mm-hmm.
in hockey.
Yeah,
are goalies crazy in soccer?
Not the same.
I see you. I don't know. I asked a real goalie.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
And he goes,
"He said when we say not a goalie." Well, I mean,
no crap.
Okay. I get what you're saying. He's not a goaltender.
And you want to know what happened?
It's not called a goalie.
There was a lot of donuts here. There was a lot of donuts in the building.
Yeah.
And I guess whenever a keeper has a shutout, they bring donuts.
They send donuts.
Get it?
Gotcha.
Shutout.
Yeah.
Donuts.
Yeah.
Well, nobody was here because it was a holiday.
And a pandemic.
So, I showed up on a Friday because the holiday was Thursday. He sent them Wednesday afternoon when everybody was gone. So I show up on Friday and there was just donuts everywhere.
Day old donuts.
two day old donuts.
Couple stale crullers.
I'm sorry. I don't know why we're talking about it.
Did you eat the donuts?
No.
Okay.
No.
A little nibble. Come on.
No, actually, I'm no.
A little nibble.
But he did send donuts.
I mean, hey, good for him. He's being a nice guy.
He got mad, though. I called him I called him a keeper.
He's a keeper.
Yeah. You ever see the Australian for beer? You know? Those commercials.
Can we go to break?
Okay, let's go to break. Coming up next.
Jesus Christ.
Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here at 98.5, the Sports Hub. You blow money fast, I'm with Seth. Andrew's in Alston. Hello, Andrew.
Gentlemen, how are we? Happy Saturday.
How you doing?
How about those Revs? That's three picks in a row that I got right. So let's hopefully keep it rolling, and hopefully the Revs can keep it rolling tomorrow. So I'm actually going for a little Monday afternoon footy. Southampton on the two-way line. I don't want to confuse Chad Finn, but that means if they draw, it's a push. The two-way line of Southampton, they're slight dogs at plus 110, and it just fills your Monday afternoon. So if you are bored Monday at 3, take Southampton.
Well done, Andrew.
Any thoughts on the Revs?
I bet on them because I'm a homer, and also there's kind of value. I mean, eventually they'll probably lose. If we're being honest, I have a futures on them 10 to win 500 that I bet before MLS Cup playoffs. So we're rolling. I thought about cashing it out yesterday in New Hampshire
prop
for $90.
Swap. Ooh, I was going to say maybe prop not, swap. Yeah.
Did not do it because that's lame. It's $90. Whatever. You got to go for it. But yeah. So hopefully they win. I have no idea if they will.
All right, Andrew. I got two for you this week. I told you I would get you this week. So
yep.
I'm taking today. Montpellier's home versus PSG. I'm taking the over in that one. The over is 3. All right.
Okay.
All right. And then 10 o'clock this morning, Norwich hosts Sheffield Wednesday in the Championship League.
Ooh, a little EFL action. I love it.
And the Championship. Yep. And
EFL Championship. Yeah.
Yep. And I'm taking the over 2.5 at plus 110.
Okay. I like it.
So how about that? PPBo. So I'm taking PSG over 3.
Boom, boom, ding, ding, ding.
PSG over 3, minus 115. Okay. And Norwich over 2.5, plus 110.
Ding, ding, ding.
There you go.
Let's go.
There you go.
All right. Good luck.
Told you I would get you, bud.
Thanks, man.
I love it. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you. Nice reference in there, too.
Yeah. Good job, Andrew.
Good job. Everything's cool, everybody. Just so we know, everyone knows everything's cool.
We're just giving it back to Chad. We're fine.
It's all good.
Yes.
We can't be sensitive. You know,
just giving.
We're
it
not
back.
Talking down to anybody. There's no talking down here.
I'm talking down a little bit, not to Chad though.
As long as you got money in your pocket. BYU plays Coastal Carolina. Let's set the scene real quick. I'm Keith Jackson. We have the Cougars of BYU from Utah and the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers. They look like a rooster. And BYU is 9-0 with Zach Wilson as their quarterback. And Coastal Carolina is the top seed in the Sun Belt, the Fun Belt Conference.
9-0 with... with what's his face, the quarterback
McCall.
Thank you, Grayson McCall, a quarterback. 9-0 versus 9-0.
So a couple of things to throw in here. Coastal Carolina is ranked 18th in the country. BYU's 13th. So BYU is a good team. I'm telling you right now, BYU is a damn good football team. A good offense, good running game, good defensive line, good defense, well coached. They're a good team. Flat out, being honest. A weak-ass schedule. Let's be honest. Weak-ass schedule.
Horrible.
I was trying to use a WAP reference, but it didn't work out.
They played Boise without their quarterback. They played Houston, and they played Troy. And that's it. I mean, Navy, they opened the season, but, I mean, really, that is it. The rest of them have just piles, you know, Texas State, like, the worst team, in the conference.
And just to throw another thing that's great about this is, Coastal Carolina was going to play Liberty today. Liberty had a hiccup 2 weeks ago against NC State. Both teams could have been undefeated going into today's game. Liberty beat UMass last week, and then their quarterback got COVID, and now they had to cancel the game. So what happened? Coastal Carolina's like, we want to play a game this week. BYU last week said, we'll play anybody in the country.
Anywhere, anytime, we're Cougars.
So, like, that's what's great about this season, right?
Oh,
so here
awesome.
We go. two teams. That, I really want to hype this up for a little bit here. One's ranked 13, one's ranked 18. There's a New Year's Six Bowl. Like, the college playoffs, one thing. I think it's going to be really hard for one of these teams to get in.
I think BYU has a chance
with
to
a win.
Get in.
With this, win. So this is where I'm going with it, Dan. If you can beat the team that's going to represent the Sun Belt or possibly win the Sun Belt, you have a better chance of getting into the college football playoff.
Sun Belt 3-0 against the Big 12 this year. The Big 12 is better than the ACC. If you don't think so, you're an idiot. Just saying.
So
sorry, Joe.
No, it's cool.
Not you, Joe. The other Joe.
Coastal Carolina has been great this year. They've beaten everybody they've played. If you look at their schedule, like they're the best team in their conference. They've beat ranked opponents. Like, they're the best team in their conference.
They beat Lafayette. They beat App State. Both those teams last night. They beat Georgia State 51-0.
They put up 38 points a game. They have a really good defense. So
they beat Georgia Southern with their backup quarterback. I mean, yeah. They beat them by 14 and covered the spread. Like,
so Coastal Carolina is getting 10 points at home today.
11.
So it's 11 now. Okay. 11 now. Just to set this up, and I love the Chanticleers. They're like my favorite team this year. There's like a team I've ridden all year long. I think BYU is going to win the game. But I will say this. If we want to talk about teams that haven't been tested, BYU hasn't. Coastal Carolina has.
We talked about this potential matchup a few weeks ago. What would you make the spread? We talked about it. We talked about how awesome this game would be. We hyped it. We were like, it would be so great if it was Cincinnati BYU or BYU Coastal Carolina. We talked about this, and now we're getting it. It's awesome. The one thing that's the one, as you said, Joe, the one awesome thing that's come out of COVID is like these teams are willing to play. And BYU, credit to them, they didn't play Washington last week, but they sacked up and they're playing Coastal Carolina in Coastal today.
I mean, that's a way to
send a message. I think they're a better team than Coastal. Personally, I am rooting for Coastal because I love this team. I love what they become, and I want them. I want national recognition for them. I don't think they're going to win either. I think BYU is better. That being said, 11 points, hell of a lot of points to get at home, and the total in this one is 62.5. I think both these defenses recognize that the quarterbacks on the other side are very good. I think those teams are both going to run. I lean under in this game almost immediately. And I think that both these teams are going to be able to run the football and take some time off the clock and not want to have Zach Wilson or Grayson McCall beat them. And I think both those guys can, especially Wilson, who's going to looks like he's going to be a first-round prospect, maybe a top 10 NFL draft pick. This is a game, if you like college football and you want to watch a game that isn't Alabama-Georgia and these great matchups, this is a game you should watch. This is going to be an awesome hell of a game. I'm stoked for it. I'm rooting for Coastal. And I'm leaning the under. That's where I'm liking this game, Joe. I hope Coastal wins this game outright. I do. I want national recognition for Coastal Carolina. I want national recognition for the Sun Belt Conference, which has been awesome this year. You know, screw BYU, but at the same time, BYU has a better chance of getting into the New Year's Six. So at the same time, it's like, you know, it's a win-win for me, but I'm just excited to watch this game, honestly.
Game of the day, I think BYU, I'm being unbiased, I think BYU wins.
Yep.
But I think Coastal Carolina is getting no respect.
I think they're going to – do you think they cover?
I think they can win outright.
I think they can, too. I think this is a game where you can go either way. I think Coastal can win this game outright. I do.
I'm saying BYU is going to win the game.
Me too. I agree with you, but I think there's a good chance that Coastal covers or win. It's not a game I want to bet. I think if you're looking for something in this game, you want to have action on it, I go under.
And the other thing, too, just to throw, I know we have to break. They've had no time to game plan.
None.
The teams are going on. It's like a backyard football game. They're going on the road, don't get me wrong. But this is like the guys in, hey, you know, like when we were growing up, dude, we used to like play, all right, yeah, meet me and dad. We'd show up to the guys down there. We didn't know anything about them. We'd show up, we'd play. And like, that's what this is what it's like this week. You know what I mean? They're going out there. Two good teams are going to play football with no prep. And we're going to see who has the better talent. I think BYU does in the long run. But Coastal Carolina has, I'm telling you, they're a good defense. And there's a lot of local kids.
And they're
Dorchester boys on their
defense.
They're
way more battle-tested than BYU. Way more battle-tested.
Hit the break. Get into that Patriots game coming up next.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The up.
All right, back here, 98.5 The Sports Hour. We'll wrap it up here with a couple of picks. Just quickly, Dan, I'm going to give out Texas A&M today against Auburn. I see five.
Five it is.
Five. Let's give out PP. Texas A&M five. Now, here's the deal. It's a pure fade of Auburn, but it's more about the fact that if Texas A&M wins today's game, it's against a ranked opponent. They're ranked number five. So if one of Clemson, Notre Dame, Alabama, who's the other one? Ohio State goes down, they're in the college playoff. They have the other thing, too, is this. Auburn has owned the series, owned it. The last time that Texas A&M was a favorite, they were minus 14 and they covered. It was Johnny Manziel. Yep. They're a favorite today. So, therefore, I'm riding the trend as them as a favorite, winning and covering today.
All right. I like it. I like it. I mean, I got to be honest with you.
I think Kellen Mond's way better than Bo Nix.
I hate Auburn and what they've been this year. They're 5-3 team. They should be 3-5. So, I'm on board. I'm on board. I'm on board with the fade of Auburn because I think that they've been lucky with the SEC officials. I don't think they're going to get lucky with a 6-1 SEC team on the outside looking in of making the Final Four playoffs. So I don't think they'll get the SEC playoff official luck today, which is what they've been all season.
What else you got?
So I'm not. I don't have personally anything else. Okay. I know that our buddy wants to talk a little UFC on the phone.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gabe, what's up?
Hey guys. I'll be real quick because I know you guys are about to end. I really liked today Jimmy Flick, which is a -60, and I also liked in the main event Vettori at about -135.
Okay.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. I hit who did I hit last week? It was on ESPN, and he won in five seconds. It was great. Real quick, got a minute to go here. Patriots, Chargers. It's a pick 'em.
It's a pick 'em. It's moved to Chargers -1, -1.5. Again, I think that you have to look into this and say, well, there's the coaching mismatch. We saw how bad Anthony Lynn was last week. Mismanaged the Bills game. Just a horrendous job by Anthony Lynn. He's been just trash all season. I'm shocked he still has a job, to be honest with you. But you know the players must like him. The Patriots—they're Jekyll and Hyde, man. One week you get a good team, one week you get a bad team. I hope they show up this week, but I'm certainly not confident in it, Joe. Not at all.
Chargers passing attack second in the league behind Kansas City.
And the secondary of the Patriots has not been good.
It hasn't been good. Now it's supposed to be the strength of the team this year.
They
J.C. Jackson has a hip issue, by the way.
Yep, and Stephon Gilmore has not been good since he's returned. They figured it out last week. They blitzed Kyler Murray. They were able to get some pressure and find
defense
a way to win.
Deserves credit last week, definitely.
Yep. We'll see what happens this week. Now they are healthy. It sounds like everyone's going to play.
The Patriots should beat the Chargers in the long run. On the scheme of it, they should be 6-6. Going to play the Rams on Thursday night with a chance to go 7-6.
I agree. I agree.
One week, you think they're going to win, they lose. Last week, I thought they'd lose, they win. This week, I think they win. What happens?
They're going to lose.
I mean, it's literally. And it's all about Cam Newton. And I think this, listen, Peter, we'll talk about it coming up in a minute here.
It's time for Stidham.
Stidham's getting reps. That's all I'm telling you. He's getting reps. Doesn't mean they're going to make the change. But he's finally getting reps.
It sounds like, Zolak was on yesterday. He's saying he would not be surprised. It sounds like he might have a little bit of informed information there. Just personal opinion.
Oh, just maybe a guy that's around the team that might know a little something. Is that what you're saying there?
Yes, a guy who likes to bust us, but yes.
Oh, yeah. I like Zo.
I do.
Okay.
He likes to bust us.
And what was the total on the old Patriots game there?
47. 47 is the total.
Oof.
I think that's like right dead center. Like, I slightly leaned under earlier in the week.
If you're going to beat the Patriots, I think you have to score over 25.
I do too. I think I'd lean over if you're going to win. Yeah.
All right. That's it. We had our 100th podcast this week, everybody. Yay.
So thank you for listening.
Tucker, that means you're supposed to like play like I don't want to dumb this down for you. But I'm kidding.
I have applause.
Okay. Thank you.
It's too tacky.
Okay. We got to get out of here. Enjoy. BYU, Coastal Carolina, Gonzaga, Baylor. later on today as well, and then the Patriots this weekend. He's Dan Lifschitz. I'm Joe Mari. This has been another edition of DraftKings Over Under 985.
Who you got?
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.